Fred, what have you done now?
Don't mind me, I'm just doing what I'm supposed to do. Hopping off the scenes, cause I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. Don't get mad at me, cause I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. Do what you're supposed to do, you could get you some too. Ask me who I wanna meet, I tell you more Benji's.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome to this edition of the Brad Gilmore Show on demand. Can I get a great Scott?
Great Scott!
We have another great show for you today. I am the boat, Brad Gilmore.
Oh my God, you're my dream boat, for sure.
That is my man, Stocks, on his record, Some More, which is one of my favorite songs by my guy. I've known Stocks now over a well over a decade. And I one of my favorite songs he's ever done is that one, Some More. You might recognize it if you're a fan of reality wrestling. Zach Mason walks out to it. I had something to do with that. But anyway, welcome to the show. I wanted to come to you on this fine Sunday, October the 18th, to play two really cool interviews that I did over the last week and a half or so. I was trying to catch up because I've made like five or six in the can that I wanted to release. So I'm doing these together because, you know, I don't want to get behind. And I don't want to have this content just sitting there in the vault and it age out. You know what I mean? It's one of the hard things about a podcast. When I do the radio show, it's live. We get it over with. It's out there. Podcast, you got to think, you know, weeks in advance and plan and get everything together. So that's what I've been doing. But today on the show, we have two famous Roberts. One you might know is Bob, and the other one you know is Rob. Bob Saget joins me. You might know Bob Saget from his work on Full House or America's Funniest Home Videos, probably what he's best known for, or for some of his dirty and raunchy comedy that Bob Saget is known to have. He's hosting an event today called Cool Comedy Hot Cuisine, and he's going to talk to you about that. It's benefiting a really awesome cause that's near and dear to him. And I got to talk to him for a short amount of time, about 10 minutes or so, 15 minutes. We spoke about his cause and about, of course, some stuff from the I asked him about the Comedy Store because I got to perform there earlier this year. We talked a little bit about his podcast, which I become a fan of. I become a fan of everybody. Everyone's got a podcast, but I think that's actually a good thing. I think that we're in a good space with that. You know what I mean? We're in a good space. So when I think, though, of Bob Saget, I don't know how many of you remember Jamie Kennedy, who's been on the podcast before, actually. He did a rap album a few years ago back in 05, and he had a song about Bob Saget, and it was called Rolling with Saget. Wait, hold on. Is this it?
You are now about to witness the strength of Bob Saget. Bob Saget.
Yeah. So my man Bob Saget, this is a song that they did about rolling with Bob Saget, right?
Have you ever had one of those nights that started off so damn good? No fights, no fuss. It's understood that when you go to the bar,
to those girls in the car.
Well, this night started off just like that, except Jamie's what? In the driver's seat, Saget's in the back.
We rolling on 20s to the club, pull up front, Saget's in the back seat, rolling up.
So anyway, I just remember that, and every time I think of Bob Saget, this song gets stuck in my head for days, because I used to listen to this. They had a show called Blowing Up back on MTV, and I just remember watching it because Mattress Mack from Houston was on it for an episode of Paul Wall. So I watched it, and now this song is always in my head when I think about Bob Saget. So we're going to talk to Bob Saget, and then right after that, I talked to Rob Reiner, but let's listen to Bob Saget right now on the Brad Gilmore Show on demand. And he joins me now to talk cool comedy, hot cuisine, the one and only, I say the legendary Bob Saget. Bob, how you doing?
Oh, thank you, Brad. I'm honored. Legendary is like, oh no, am I going to die?
Well, so we can say living legend. Living legend, right?
Yeah, that's even better. I was out with Bill Burr the other night and Jeff Ross and my friend Mike Binder, who directed the Showtime documentary on the Comedy Store, which is on Sundays right now. And I was saying to Bill, you know, I haven't even done what I've come here to do. He said, well, you better hurry up. So he's quite great. And he's part of an event that I'm doing. And so it's Jeff Ross, a live event that I'm doing on Sunday. And you're Central Time, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I was scheduled to be in Houston, too. I would have been there already. and we had to cancel because of restrictions, and so I couldn't do it, but I can't wait. I've already rescheduled for next year to come back and at the Improv there, and that's the plan, and I can't wait till we can live again, and we will. But in the meantime, I've always done these events for scleroderma, which is a disease of hardening of the skin, and I lost my sister to scleroderma in 1994. But I was hosting events before she even was diagnosed, and Robin Williams, over 30 years ago, was the first person to ever perform at the event and did six more after that over the 20-year period. And we are a comedy event because it's such a horrific disease, and it affects people's how they look, of course, because the skin gets very taut. And you can get Raynaud's arthritis, or it can go and affect your lungs. Not unlike COVID, you can die of pulmonary hypertension. So there are hundreds of thousands of people with this disease. And we finally are doing a global one. We are doing one. We always do them, you know, the events are, for example, in L.A., we did one a year and a half ago, and the comedians and the performers were John Mayer was on stage with Dave Chappelle and Ken Jeong and John Stamos. And in New York, I had Michael Che and Andy Cohen and John Oliver. And so this is a live on YouTube event with Susan Feniger, who is our top chef, always has cooked for the events because she was friends with our founder 35 years ago. They went to college, Sharon Monsky. And so we're going to be live in studio. And so that will be 6 o'clock live on YouTube. And 6 o'clock, 5:30 is the pre-show. And people can see all these amazing comedians and musicians, and I'll tell who as I wrap through my my riff on what I want people to know about. They can go to srfcure.org, Scleroderma Research Foundation. It's srfcure.org. And right now, if they type in the promo code Bob, there's a $50 ticket, which is it's pretty unusual that we do that, but we've never had a live virtual event, and we'll be COVID tested, and we'll be live in studio, Susan and I. And the performances of people appearing are Jason Alexander, whose stepsister passed away from scleroderma, and Jack Black, who's come to our events, and Reggie Brown, and Bill Burr, who will tear me apart. That's what he likes to do. And he'll probably say, please cure this disease because I can't talk to you anymore. And Kelly Clarkson is singing a song for us that's amazing. And Jim Gaffigan, Jeff Garland, Nikki Glaser, who's hilarious. Regina Hall, who's a wonderful actress, and her mother has scleroderma, and we sent her to the center in that we fund at Johns Hopkins, and her mother is well now. So that's the difference between when my sister passed away and where the new technologies and different medications that are available and just therapies. Ken Jeong, who thinks he's a doctor, will be there, and Queen Latifah, who made a video for us. Her mom sadly passed away 2 years ago from it. And George Lopez, Harry Mandel, John Mayer's going to sing, and we have an auction item of a signed guitar. And Joel McHale and I are, he's going to, of course, rip me apart, but also we have an auction item of drinking tequila shots with some lucky winner. We're just going to get hammered. I just said, Joel, you want to drink tequila shots for a Zoom person that will bid high money? And he goes, we drink tequila? I went, yeah. He says, I'm in.
Easy sell on that.
Everybody's drinking
one
right now.
Yeah.
And Pat Monahan from Train, I'm almost done. Ray Romano, Jeff Ross, Sarah Silverman, and John Stamos, whose auction item is, amazing when he reads stories to little kids. But I think it's story time with John Stamos, with Uncle Jesse, and I think it's going to end up being just adults calling up men or women. Oh, my God, read to me 60 Shades of Grey. I made it 30 Shades of Grey, so it wasn't as dirty. But it's a wonderful event, and it's this Sunday, the 18th, at 6 o'clock live in Houston. And it starts 5:30 with the pre-show. And srfcure.org, promo code Bob for the cheaper availability to see. It's really going to feel like a network show. I mean, we have Joel Gallen executive producing it with me, and he's a real pro. He produced my roast years ago, all the Rock and Roll Hall of Fames. He's quite an amazing guy.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing, Bob, is about this disease. I had never heard of it up until maybe 2 or 3 months ago when I listened to you on Joe Rogan's podcast. That was the first time I had ever even heard of this issue, and I think that you're really championing. Yeah, I mean, and you're really championing the cause for it. And I think that that's great, because my grandmother passed away from Parkinson's disease, and we have Michael J. Fox out there always fighting the good fight. So I'm
right.
You're kind of the analogous situation for this one.
Yeah, and he's done amazing work, and what a hero he is, you know? Just a hero. And I've been doing benefits. I did a benefit of Parkinson's virtually, and ALS, and cancer, and, you know, it's been amazing what we all try to do during this time, because you've got to raise money. We all, of course, are trying to raise money for COVID and for all of the things that come from the tragedy of it. And if a scleroderma or a Parkinson's patient got, you know, had COVID, that would, especially with scleroderma and a lot of others, but scleroderma affects your lungs, and that's what you can pass away from. So there is a relation, and we want to cure these people. It's so important to be able to do that.
Yeah, it's called Cool Comedy Hot Cuisine. Make sure you go, and it's all over Bob's Twitter page and all over Instagram, stuff like that, so make sure you go check it out. But Bob, you also recently started a podcast, so you're kind of getting into my world a little bit.
I swear I'm not doing it competitively.
No, but how have you liked it? Because what I have found with a podcast or a radio show, it's the perfect excuse to talk to somebody you've always wanted to talk to. I've always wanted to talk to Bob Saget. Here's a quick personal personal story is when we were in school, you know, back in high school, the teachers would reprimand us if we used profanity, so we had to make up our own profane language, and Bob Saget was one of the words that we would say. All the time.
We speak in code.
Yeah.
But it depends on who my guest is on the podcast. My 60th episode just came out, and I'm a newbie, but I love it. I've had wonderful guests. I've had, you know, everybody from Norman Lear to Jake Tapper to Bill Maher to Dave Rubin to Regina Hall to, it's been pretty great. Whoopi Goldberg and Stamos, of course, John Mayer, of course, you know, friends of mine. They're all the same people for the benefit, but these are my friends. And then I get to call people. So I call people that leave a message for me. And that's the show that's out right now, where I call people, see how they're doing through this time. And it's called Bob Saget's Here For You. And it's really been wonderful. It's doing quite well. And I love that people are loving it. I did it before quarantine started. I started doing it because I wanted to do it. And I said, I'll do this forever. If I'm directing a movie, if I'm doing a TV show, it's just a natural thing. And of course, once quarantine started, I had the podcast radio board brought to my home, and that's how I do it. I just keep doing them all the time, and I love it. It's also good for me and good for other people, because we get to have that connection, just like you get by talking to people with your show.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think it's great, and, you know, Zoom and the phones and social media has been great to keep up with people during this time. And I know I'm gonna keep this short, but I got one more question for you, because you brought up the Comedy Store. The last thing that I did before quarantine shut down is I actually got to step on the stage of the world famous Comedy Store for an event that we did out there in L.A. And then by the time I got back home, the world had shut down and nothing was the same again. But why is that Comedy
Store?
When I was there, I was walking. It was the first time I was ever there, walking through the hallways, looking at the pictures, reading the names on the outside of the building. Why is that venue such a legendary spot for all comedians?
Well, I think if you watch the Comedy Store special, which I'm in on Sunday on Showtime, after you see Cool Comedy Hot Cuisine on YouTube at srfcure.org. I'm selling cars after this. But that documentary shows what it was. And Richard Pryor was in all the time. He really made it. It was Richard Pryor's club, and he didn't own it. Mitzi Shore owned it, but that's where I went on stage when I was 21, and I was asked to be a regular, and here I am on a lineup. Letterman's one of my first hosts, and the lineup's Michael Keaton, Billy Crystal, Jay Leno, and then Richard Pryor goes on. So I went, oh, I think I'm going to stay here, and I was there for 8 years trying to get good, and I learned quite a bit. It was a pretty special place. I'm glad you got to experience it.
Yeah. I felt the history in the room. Sometimes you step inside of a room and you can feel that history, and you definitely feel
that. Yeah, that's because they never painted it. They never vacuumed.
Yeah, it doesn't look like they cleaned
it. I hate to tell you this, but I have to go.
I know.
I feel terrible. I have to leave because I'm on a satellite tour.
Yeah, we're wrapping up now. Let the people know one more time. What's the link?
The link is srfcure.org. Thank you so much. And they can type in the promo code Bob, B-O-B, and they'll get a $50 ticket. And it goes all the way up to, you know, 20 grand, whatever. But, I mean, whatever people can give. And they can watch the show. They'll get an email right back, and they'll be able to watch it this Sunday. And so I'm pretty excited about it. And it's the 18th, and it'll be on at 6 o'clock your time in Houston. And then it'll be on at 5:30 with the pre-show. So lots of great stars, and it's a totally entertaining show with not a bunch of Zoom people that you can't keep. You lose the signal. So thanks so much for letting me plug it so much. I appreciate it.
No problem.
Much.
Thank you so much, Bob. We'll talk soon. That is Bob Saget, everybody.
I look forward to it. Boy, do I look forward to it.
And there he is. That's Bob Saget, man. How nice and sweet of a guy is Bob Saget? Like, honestly, just seems like the nicest dude ever. And he really lives up to the character he sometimes portrayed on Full House. And really funny guy. I wish I could talk to him more. And it sounds like that I will be talking to Bob more. So we'll have an extended interview with Bob Saget, hopefully sometime in the near future. But here's the other thing. I know we're in a political season. I'm somebody who's always remained apolitical, and I tend to stay that way. Although I'm a massive fan of the sport of politics. When I say I'm a fan, I'm interested. I stay engaged. I watch all the news channels. I watch all the shows that I can. Listen to podcasts. Listen to YouTube channels that deal in politics, and I like to take in the viewpoints of all sides of certain political issues, because it's my belief to where. How can I know if I truly and strongly believe in something if I don't hear the opposing view to it, right? So I'm someone who's always been politically independent and politically minded, and I am not alone in that. Now, I am not ever going to get on one side of an issue or another on this show, because that's not what I want to do. I'm not interested in that. Now, if you hear me maybe on Hall of Fame with Booker and I, sometimes we get into some political things, and there are certain things that I believe in that I will speak up on very strongly. But when it comes to whomever you're going to vote for, I let the people who want to discuss that, they can discuss it. And one of the guys is Rob Reiner. Rob Reiner, you know from All in the Family. You know him as a legendary director and actor. He is the son of the uber legend Carl Reiner, who everybody has been a fan of. Even my generation of people know him from the Ocean's 11 movies. Really great talent. We lost him earlier this year. Rest in peace, obviously, to the great Carl Reiner. Excuse me. I'm not trying to put that on Rob. But I talked to Rob. He was promoting an event that he was doing that was a fundraiser for a particular political party. Now, during this, we talk little politics, just a little bit. I let him voice his opinion because that was part of the deal. He was going to voice his opinion, but I did get to ask him about some stuff that I've always wanted to ask him about. Working with Andre the Giant on The Princess Bride, being directed by Martin Scorsese in one of my favorite movies of all time, The Wolf of Wall Street, and Batisco 211, we talk This is Spinal Tap. So I don't want to waste any time. I think that it is the appropriate time to talk to the legendary Mr. Rob Reiner on The Brad Gilmore Show, On Demand. And he joins me now, the legend himself, Mr. Rob Reiner, is in the building. Rob, how you doing?
Hey, good, Brad. How are you?
I'm great. I'm so excited to talk to you because I'm a major fan of yours. When I saw this opportunity to talk to you, it was incredible. I had just spent maybe last week an hour watching this YouTube playlist of some of the greatest scenes that from films that you have directed, and then I saw all this Seinfeld making of, so it's just a pleasure to talk to you this morning.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
Let's talk a little bit about, though, what you're here to talk about. And it's always fun. This pandemic, I guess the good thing about it, if there is a good thing, is we've gotten to see a lot of people reunite. I just saw a trailer for a West Wing reunion they're doing on HBO Max. And now Spinal Tap is reuniting, holding a virtual reunion, a fundraiser for the Pennsylvania Democrats. Tell me a little bit about it.
Well, we're doing this on the 15th, and it's going to be hosted by Patton Oswalt and myself and Michael McKean and Chris Guest and Harry Shearer will all be there. We're going to show clips from the film. We're going to talk about it. We're going to take questions from the viewers that are watching. And like you say, it's to raise money for the Pennsylvania Democrats. And you're right. There have been a number of these reunions. I did one a couple of weeks ago for Princess Bride, and we had the whole cast back from Princess Bride and did a reading of that. So it's a lot of fun. It's fun for the audience. And the main thing is that we're raising money to to win Pennsylvania for the Democrats, you know, on the 3rd. And it's a critical state. You know, it was won by Trump the last time, and we got to get this guy out of the White House. He's an absolute raving lunatic, and if we have another 4 years of him, I worry that our democracy won't exist anymore.
Yeah, it's just cool for people to get together for a cause, especially something that they strongly believe in, no matter what, right? It's nice for everyone to get together. And for me, Spinal Tap, so I come from the world of music, and I think that every person who's ever stepped inside of a recording studio at all or has spent any time around music venues has had to have seen Spinal Tap. This is Spinal Tap. And I tell you, Rob, it was an inside joke for years and years and years that I would always say, yeah, but these go to 11. It's one of the great lines in the history of cinema, I think. And the thing is, whenever you're making something like that, did you know that Spinal Tap was going to have that resonance that it had? Or were you unsure about it?
No, you never know. You just, you know, you're working on something. You don't know if it's going to be good or not. I mean, you know, we thought it was funny, but I can tell you two things. When we first screened it in Dallas, they thought they didn't understand it. They kept saying to me, "Why would you make a movie about a band that nobody ever heard of, and they're so bad?" And I said, "Well, it's a satire." And the guy who was shooting the film, the cinematographer, he had shot a lot of rock and roll documentaries, and that's why I hired him. And while we were shooting, he kept saying, "I don't understand. What's funny about this? This is exactly what they do." And I said, "Yeah, but it's a little bent. You have to see that it's not exactly. It's a little bent." So you never know. You never know what people are going to take to or not take to.
Yeah, it's just, I think that if you're in on it right from the get-go and you get the joke, kind of like Best in Show or some of those other great mockumentaries in the history of entertainment, it's just such a fun ride, and it's cool that it still is around today. People still want to see that. I mean, I know people have to be so excited for this, as well as the Princess Bride one, because for me, Rob, I also come from the world of pro wrestling. I spent a lot of time working in pro wrestling, and of course, every pro wrestling fan knows Princess Bride because of Andre the Giant.
How was
it to work with Andre?
Oh, he was great. I mean, the guy, you know, the classic gentle giant. I mean, he really was that. I mean, he was the sweetest man, and he was so smart. I mean, really smart guy. He told us stories about when in this town that he was from in France, that he used to go to school, that Samuel Beckett would walk him to school. I mean, so these are the kind of influences he had. But he was an amazing guy, and one story, he also could drink pretty good. He was, you know, he liked to drink once in a while. And one day he comes to work, and I said, "Andre, what'd you do last night?" He says, "Oh, I went to the bar, had a couple of drinks." I said, "Well, what do you drink?" He says, "Oh, you know, I had about 6 bottles of wine, 3 bottles of cognac." I said, "Jesus." I said, "You must have been drunk." He said, "No, I don't get drunk. I'm a little tipsy, but not drunk." So he was a great guy, though. Really sweet guy.
I mean, yeah, that's what everybody says. The drinking stories are legendary, where he would just throw back 100 beers in one sitting and be able to walk out with no problem. What an anomaly of a human being. And did you find his, because he wasn't a trained actor by any sense of the imagination, but he did come from the world of entertainment, from the pro wrestling aspect. Did you find that him working with him on set in the scripted format, did he take to that well, or did it take a little extra direction?
He did eventually. I was nervous about going with him because he had never acted before. And when he came in and did the audition, I had him read a scene, and I couldn't really understand what he was saying. He was perfect for the part, but it was like impossible. And I said, "You know, Andre, this is going to be like a 15-week thing. You're going to be around." And he thought that he had to do 3 pages for 15 weeks. I said, no. "You're throughout the whole script. This is just one scene. You're in the whole movie." He says, I do it, boss." And I went, "Oh, no, I don't know if I could do it." So what I did is I taped his entire performance. I put it on a cassette, and I sent it to him, and he listened to it over and over and over again. By the time he got to the set, he had it down. He had it nailed, and he was so good, because I thought, I'm going to have to loop everything. You know, I'm going to have to replace his dialogue, you know. But he was I didn't have to change a line, and he was perfect.
Oh, I'm sure, man. And what a classic movie and classic performance from him. You know, Rob, though, I said I'm a fan of yours, and I really, truly mean that. And I love your style. Every film that you do, you feel that Rob Reiner style. And even the films that I feel like you choose to act in, they all are big on dialogue and that conversational style. Even going back to
I like character pieces. That's my, that's what I know. You know, my dad used to say all the time, you know, he just passed away recently, but he always used to say, right, you know, create from where you know, from what you know. In other words, let it be an extension of yourself in some way. And that's the only way I know how to do it. And most of the things I do are character driven. You know, I've done some things that aren't, but most everything I do is that. And that's the only way I know how to create stuff.
And I think that it's 100%. I think the reason why I and so many other people like the work that you do, whether it be behind the camera or on screen, even working at a film like The Wolf of Wall Street, that was a big character study about Jordan Belfort, right, and everything that he did. Was it cool for you to, as talented of a director as you are, have to sit there and take direction from somebody like Martin Scorsese?
Well, if you're lucky enough to be in a Martin Scorsese film, you know, it's easy. I mean, the guy, first of all, he's brilliant. He's obviously one of the great film directors of all time. But he also is smart enough when working with actors to let them go. If he knows an actor can improvise or make it more real, he did. And it's funny because I was talking to Jonah Hill, you know, we became kind of friends after that. And with Leo, too, it's like if you're with people who can do that, in other words, can improvise and go back and forth with each other, you can find some of the best stuff that way. I mean, that Spinal Tap was completely improvised, and Marty would always let us do that. And like you say, when you get with good horses, like Jonah was incredible. I mean, he just was easy to just bounce back and forth with. But I was surprised how good Leo was. I mean, he was really comfortable just, you know, improvising and allowing things to you know, to find these things. And Marty was amazing at letting you do that. So what a pleasure to work with him.
Absolutely. Now, again, this fundraiser that's going down is for Pennsylvania Democrats. Have you always been politically active and politically minded?
Yeah, pretty much so. I mean, I grew up in a household where my mother and father were both very politically active. My father marched in the moratorium against the Vietnam War. My mother was part of a group called Another Mother for Peace. And they put there was a very famous poster in the 60s called War is Unhealthy for Children and Other Living Things. And it was against the Vietnam War, and they were very involved in racial issues. And so, you know, which gave, you know, when I did Ghost of Mississippi, and I've done some things, and I've been, you know, I was actually chairman of a state commission here in California for 7 years on early childhood, and we were my wife and I and Chad Griffin were the first to file a federal lawsuit that led the way to marriage equality in the country. So, you know, I've been involved in politics, you know, since I'm a young person.
So how do we get, this is my biggest question, because I've spent so much time around young people, and it's hard to get them to be politically active and engaged and even register to vote. How do you think that we can reach the younger generation more and tell them why? Because when I first voted, Rob, when I was 20 is the first time I voted, when I was able to vote, I really didn't even know what I was voting for. I think a lot of people,
right,
they just vote based on, it's almost like, you know, do you drink Coke or Pepsi? Whatever your dad drank is what you drink,
yeah,
too. So it's who you vote for. It wasn't until I got older that I started looking at things differently. How can we get people more engaged and involved at an earlier age?
Well, I think, you know, it's interesting, but usually it's the issues that affect young people that will galvanize them into action. When I was young, like I said, the Vietnam War was going on, and people, you know, were worried about fighting in a war they didn't believe in and going off to die and all that. And that was a galvanizing issue that got everybody, you know, make love, not war, and all, you know, the hippie movement and all that stuff. Now you've got some basic issues that young people really are gravitating towards. One is, you know, gun control, and seeing, you know, people shot up in schools, and David Hogg and his group are out there registering people. Also the environment, and that's an all-encompassing issue that affects everybody, and young people are very cognizant of climate change and what's happening. And it is causing young people to get more engaged than otherwise. But normally, young people, they don't think about these things. You're right, they don't care about it. But when it directly affects them, like student loans, things that affect them personally, they'll get more engaged. And then they'll see which candidate is in favor of reducing student loans, which candidate cares about the environment, which candidate cares about gun safety. And when you then you start seeing, oh, I want that person because that person cares about the things that I care about.
It's going to be an interesting night come November the 3rd, 2020. But Rob Reiner, thank you so much for joining. It's just a pleasure to talk to you.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, Brian, what have you done now?